Well, Happy New Year almost. This is the last Sunday in the church year, and we begin a new year next week. Today is Christ the King, or the Reign of Christ Sunday. And many of us have a problem with that, because the theological language, well, it might be a bit dated. Some people think of Christ the King as being too old-fashioned. Monarchies are very nice, but very irrelevant. Christ the King sounds a little too masculine, because we believe in gender equality. And it also can sound too triumphalist, because none of us like the idea of being reigned over. So we always get hung up on what we don't like about it, and we tend not to say, what does it mean? Well, today gives us a chance to get past the phrase, the words, the language, and get to the real meaning. In today's reading from Colossians, Paul has written a majestic hymn, a hymn about Christ that speaks about Christ as having been before us, within us, and ahead of us. And we're surrounded by the witness of one who was there in creation, who experienced a harsh and broken life like yours and mine in the reading that I just read, and who goes ahead of us to shatter all of that horror. In Christ, our future is already known, and the future breaks into the present as hope, as consolation, and as a protest against suffering. Now, Frederick Buechner, who's a great writer, says we only need to look to our own lives and remember our own lives' experience to see hope. So think for a moment. Someone has died whom we loved and needed. And from somewhere, something came to fill our emptiness and mend us in that broken time. In anger, we once, I'm sure only once, said something that we wished we could take back. Or perhaps someone said something to us that we wished they would take back. But somewhere, from somewhere, forgiveness came. And as they say in New Zealand, we built a bridge and got over it. What whispers consolation and forgiveness in our lives? What touches us when we feel totally untouchable? What happens when the most unexpected, unlikely time, when life comes into it, and a holiness takes place in us that is brighter and more amazing than the shabbiness that we feel? That's when we experience hope. Hope, not as Jürgen Moltmann said, blind optimism, but hope with open eyes. Hope which sees suffering and believes in the future. Since I've come to St. John's, there's been a couple of things that people have said to me about me, probably more than a couple, but two that, to my face, I hear most often. One is about my laugh. A, that it happens a lot, and B, that you can't help but hear it no matter where you are in this building. I was at the retreat yesterday, and I got into trouble because I was quite disruptive at times because I was laughing. And the other thing is my walk. Someone said, just get out of the way, there comes Beth. She strides, she doesn't walk. And I remember at Ashbury, the students used to say the same thing, there she comes. And so those are two things about me that are true. I laugh and I walk, I stride. But what you don't know, or perhaps I might have alluded to, is that there was a time in my life when I was young that I did that too. I laughed and I walked as a child free. And then for a whole bunch of years in the middle, I didn't do either of those things. In fact, there was a time when I lay curled on my bed and could barely remember what it was like to laugh. There was a time when I couldn't hold my head up high and remember what it was like to walk in freedom. There was a time when I just wanted it to end because it had become so sad, my life. All of the hopes and dreams that I thought were going to be mine had been shattered. It was awful, and it wasn't short. It was a long time. But, as Leonard Cohen sings, through the cracks, the light kept breaking in. Hope. Not my hopes and dreams, certainly not the way I wanted them to be, but hope, spelt in all caps, H-O-P-E, was given to me by my friends, by my family, by strangers, by nature, by things I never would have expected. It was a word, it was a touch, it was an unexpected card or gift of flowers, it was sunshine on a cloudy day, it was my cat who wouldn't leave me alone and kept kneading at me until I would at least wake up. It was all sorts of things that surrounded me. And so I experienced resurrection. In my life, I experienced what it was like to go through that and to live past it. Is life perfect now? Absolutely not. I still have more hopes and dreams, and I bet they're not going to happen the way I'd like them to. But I've experienced hope in all caps. Julian of Norwich affirmed, and I have experienced, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Today, Christ the King, the reign of Christ, is that's our witness to being well. And in it all, we have a choice. We have a choice to follow in the face of hardness. We have a choice to choose to be people of hope. Now, that sounds easy, but we all know it's not. And not only is it not easy, it brings responsibility. There is a huge responsibility tied to this hope. Because then we're free to boldly work to heal suffering, to do what Christ calls us to do, to put our hope into active living faith. When we know that Christ is King, that there's more to our lives than we can see, we're free to live in grace, not just by what we do. But we engage with the pain around us, we act with mercy, and we can make the difference in other people's lives, sometimes because we laugh, and sometimes because we stride, and sometimes because we do whatever is integral to us. By doing that, we can hold the candle of hope for others who don't have any, because every one of us knows what it's like at times to have no hope. But once we've experienced it, we can hold it for others, and we become light bearers and life givers. And that's what Advent is about, looking for the light. We have a responsibility to embody our personal experience of hope and resurrection to others, individually and as a community. It's part of the reason, I'm sure, that I'm a priest. Because not only do I get to do it for myself and for others, but I'm here with you. And we're going to figure out how we're going to bring that hope to this world around us together. You've been doing it for years. I've been doing it for years. But now we're going to do it together. And that will change you and change me and hopefully change those around us. So today, on the last Sunday of the year, so to speak, we need to claim Christ. Claim hope. Claim resurrection. Emily Dixon says that hope is the thing with feathers that perches in the soul and sings the tune without words and never stops at all. I hope we will continue to choose life, an active, engaged faith, confident that all shall be well and all manner of things shall be well, and that we will hold that candle of light for those who can't at the moment. I'm going to leave you with a little poem from William Stafford called The Way It Is. There's a thread that you follow. It goes among things that change, but it doesn't change. People wonder about what you are pursuing. You have to explain about the thread, but it is hard for others to see. While you hold it, you can't get lost. Tragedies happen. People get hurt or die, and you suffer and get old. Nothing you can do can stop time's unfolding. You don't ever let go of the thread. Happy reign of Christ. Amen.